You may have noticed in your bulletins, I realized after printing them that I forgot to change the scripture reading and the sermon title from last week. So our scripture reading is actually Exodus 29, and the title of the sermon is The Consecration of the Priests. Exodus chapter 29 instead of 28 as it is in your bulletins. Exodus 29, and I will be reading all of the verses. There's 46 verses of Exodus chapter 29. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. This is what you are to do to consecrate them, so they may serve me as priests. Take a young bull and two rams without defect, and from fine wheat flour without yeast, make bread, and cakes mixed with oil, and wafers spread with oil. Put them in a basket and present them in it, along with the bowl and two rams. Then bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Take the garments and dress Aaron with the tunic, the robe of the ephod itself, and the breastpiece. Fasten the ephod on him by its skillfully woven waistband. Put the turban on his head and attach the sacred diadem to the turban. Take the anointing oil, and anoint him by pouring it on his head. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics and put headbands on them, then tie sashes on Aaron and his sons. The priesthood is theirs by a lasting ordinance. In this way you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. Bring the bull to the front of the tent of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on his head. Slaughter it in the Lord's presence at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Take some of the bull's blood and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger and pour out the rest of it at the base of the altar. Then take all of the fat around the inner parts, the covering of the liver and both kidneys with the fat around them and burn them on the altar. But turn the bull's flesh and its hide and its offal outside the camp. It is a sin offering. Take one of the rams, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on its head. Slaughter it and take the blood and sprinkle it against the altar on all sides. Cut the ram into pieces and wash the inner parts and the legs, putting them with the head and all the other pieces. Then burn the entire ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord, a pleasing aroma, an offering made by fire. Take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on its head. Slaughter it, take some of its blood, and put it on the lobes of the right ears of Aaron and his sons, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. Then sprinkle blood against the altar on all sides. And take some of the blood on the altar, and some of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments, and the sons and their garments. Then he and his sons and their garments will be consecrated. Take from this ram the fat. The fat tail, the fat around the inner parts, the covering of the liver, both kidneys and the fat around them and the right thigh. This is the ram for the ordination. From the basket of bread made without yeast, which is before the Lord, take a loaf and a cake made with oil and a wafer. Put all of these in the hands of Aaron and his sons and wave them before the Lord as a wave offering. Then take them from their hands and burn them on the altar, along with the burnt offering, for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. An offering made to the Lord by fire. After you take the breast of the ram for Aaron's ordination, wave it before the Lord as a wave offering, and it will be your share. Consecrate those parts of the ordination ram that belong to Aaron and his sons, the breast that was waved and the thigh that was presented. This is always to be the regular share from the Israelites for Aaron and his sons. It is to be the contribution the Israelites are to make to the Lord from their fellow offerings. Aaron's sacred garments will belong to his descendants so that they can be anointed and ordained in them. The son who succeeds him as priest and comes to the tent of meeting to minister in the holy place is to wear them 7 days. Take the ram for the ordination and cook the meat in the sacred place. At the entrance to the tent of meeting, Aaron and his sons are to eat the meat of the ram and the bread that is in the basket. They are to eat these offerings by which atonement was made for their ordination and consecration. But no one else may eat them because they are sacred. And if any of the meat of the ordination ram or any bread is left over till morning, burn it up. It must not be eaten because it is sacred. Do for Aaron and his sons everything I have commanded you, taking 7 days to ordain them. Sacrifice a bull each day as a sin offering to make atonement. Purify the altar by making atonement for it and anoint it to consecrate it. For 7 days, make atonement for the altar and consecrate it. Then the altar will be most holy, and whatever touches it will be holy. This is what you are to offer on the altar regularly each day. 2 lambs a year old. Offer one in the morning and the other at twilight. With the first lamb, offer a tenth of an ephah of fine flour, mixed with a fourth of a hin of oil from pressed olives, and a fourth of a hin of wine as a drink offering. Sacrifice the other lamb at twilight with the same grain offering and its drink offering in the morning, a pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. For the generations to come, this burnt offering is to be made regularly at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. There I will meet you and speak to you. There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. So I will also consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt, so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. That's the reading of God's word this morning, as it comes to us from Exodus 29. You may have noticed that the scripture reading is fairly lengthy this morning. And as we look at a fairly long scripture reading like that, sometimes there is a tendency for us to get lost in the details. In Exodus 29, God has given us detailed instructions about the consecration process of his priests. And if we're not careful, we can become lost in a maze of all these details, and so we must carefully look at our text and look for clues that God has given us to help us understand the bigger picture. The bigger picture will help us to remember what all these details are leading to, and that clue that God gives us this morning is the ending. In the last few verses, verses 44 through 46, God gives to us a summary statement, a summary of verses in which God sums up all of these details and all the things that he has already said. God has given us this so that we will not become lost in the details and so that we will remember and know what is the point of everything that God is saying. And that comes to us in these last few verses. Verse 44 tells us, "So I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and I will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt, so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." The term Exodus is often used in reference to the deliverance from slavery. When we think of Exodus, we think of the Israelites in oppression and God delivering them from slavery and bringing them to a promised land. But the term Exodus has more meaning than that. We see the term used today even in such circumstances as the blacks wanting their freedom from apartheid, an exodus from apartheid. We see this term used today in terms of the poor being delivered from the rich. They must be exodused from their oppression. But when we look at verse 45 of our chapter, God reminds us that the exodus is more than being delivered from the pain and struggle and brought to eternity. In verse 45, God says, "Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt." Why? "So that I might dwell among them." God has a plan for these people. Yes, he has delivered them from slavery. Yes, he has promised and will bring them to a promised land. But God also desires to dwell with them. That is part of the Exodus, that God would come and dwell with these people that he has saved, that he might be their God. But how can a holy God dwell with sinners? They are sinners, and God is holy. And so God in Exodus 29 gives the description of the priests. For the Israelites to go to their God and to know their God, for their God to speak to them, there must come someone in between. And so God has them in Exodus 29 consecrate the priests. The priests will stand as the mediators between God and His people. In Exodus 29, you see used the word consecration and the word ordination. I did some work to try to determine if there was a distinction between the terms, and I wasn't successful finding a distinction. But I'm curious as to why the word ordination is used and the word consecration is used. And the only thing that I can think of is that ordination is used to help us understand the types of ordination services that we have today. In the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, we continue to ordain church leaders. There are men that are ordained or set apart to serve in Christ's church, whether they be ministers, whether they be ruling elders, whether they be deacons, they are ordained by the church. And you will see in Exodus 29 that we are reading of an ordination service / consecration service for the priests. And as we look at these verses this morning, you will see that the roots of what we now do in our ordination service starts in Exodus 29. Look at chapter 29 again, verse 4. Then bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. The first thing that happens to Aaron and his sons before they can stand as mediators between God and his people is they go to the entrance of the tent of meeting where God is and where God stands between his people, and they are washed with water. The garments are put upon them, and in verse 7 we read that they are to take anointing oil and to anoint them by pouring it on their heads. Aaron and his sons are to be dressed in the clothes of one who would work in the tabernacle. Their priesthood is an everlasting one. And at the end of verse 9 we read that in this way you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. Aaron and his sons as priests of God are set apart from the others. They have oil put on their heads. They are washed and declared clean. They have the garments that they will use to work in the temple or in the tabernacle of the Lord God put upon them. And they are made a public example of those who are set apart to work specifically in the service of God in the tabernacle. But this isn't all that must take place for them to be ordained. There is the consecration part of it, the sanctifying part of it. For how can these priests who are sinners stand before a holy God and work within His presence? Thus, special offerings must also be made. Notice specifically what these offerings are and what they stand for. In verse 14, we read this, "But burn the bull's flesh and its hide and its offal outside the camp. It is a sin offering." The first thing that they are to do is to sacrifice a bull. And the bull is to be burned outside of the camp, and it stands for the sin offering. In verse 10, we read that Aaron and his sons are to lay their hands on its head. The sin offering for the children of Israel represented not their own sins, but their sinful nature. The sin that they inherited from Adam. The original sin that each one of them carries in their lives. An offering is made for this sin offering. And Aaron and his sons, by laying their hands upon this bull, transfer their sin to the sin of the bull, or to the bull, and the bull is burned and offered to the Lord. But not only must their original sin be paid for, we read on in verse 18 that a ram is brought to the altar. And They are to burn the entire ram on the altar, and it is the burnt offering to the Lord, a pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. The burnt offering for the children of Israel stood for their own sins. It was the offering made to forgive the sins of the person that they have committed against the Lord themselves. And once again, Aaron and his sons are to lay their hands upon the head of this ram. God has to prepare his priests by consecrating them with an offering for their original sin, for an offering for their own sins. And then notice what takes place in verse 20. They take another ram and they slaughter it. They take some of its blood and they put it on the lobes of the right ears of Aaron and his sons, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. Not only must they have forgiveness for their original sin, for their own sins, but also as priests of the Lord Most High, they must be sanctified in their lives. They are to take blood and put it on their ears because what they hear in the commands from the Lord are holy commands that God has given them, and what they do in obedience to those commands are sanctified. They are to take their thumb and have blood on their right thumb, demonstrating the sanctification of their work that they do. This is holy work that they will be doing within the temple of the Lord God. Then they are to take blood and put it on their big toes, on their right feet, demonstrating the sanctification of their walk, of their life before the Lord. Through these series of offerings, we see the sanctification, the consecration that God has specifically for his priests. Not just any old person can walk in the tabernacle and start serving the Lord there. Preparations must be made. There must be forgiveness for their original sin, for their own sins, and the sanctification, the consecration of the lives of the priests as they work there in the presence of the Lord. And finally, we see that a portion of this last ram, along with the fine wheat flour and the cakes that are made, they take these things, and in verse 27 we read, that they are to take those parts of the ordination ram that belonged to Aaron and his sons, and the breast that was waved, and the thigh that was presented, and this always is to be the regular share from the Israelites for Aaron and his sons. It is the contribution the Israelites are to make to the Lord from their fellowship offerings. They are to eat and enjoy of some of this offering. And in verse 31, we read that they take this ram, they cook the meat in a sacred place, and there at the entrance to the tent of meeting, Aaron and his sons are to eat the meat of the ram and the bread that is in the basket. They are to eat these offerings by which the atonement was made for their ordination and consecration. There before the Lord, peace is demonstrated between God and his people. For after the ordination service is complete, after the sacrifices have been made, after the oil has been placed on their heads and they have been dressed in these fabulous garments, they enjoy a meal at the tent of meeting between God and his people, a peace meal demonstrating the fellowship that God has with them and with his people, that they can enjoy a meal in the presence of the Lord God. What is the bigger picture of Exodus 29? Look again at verse 42. For generations to come, this burnt offering is to be made regularly at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. There I will meet with you and speak to you. There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. God is making provisions for him to dwell with his people. God has delivered them from slavery. God is going to take them to a promised land. But God is also going to dwell with his people, and he will dwell with his people through the mediation of the priests that God has provided for them. But you may be wondering, as we've read through this, this ordination service or consecration service is much more complicated than what we do in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Where is the sacrifices? Where are the heavenly garments that they are to be dressed in as they work in that place? Where are these things provided for? You see, even though this process and the process that we now do are rooted together in their connection of people being set apart to serve in the service of the Lord, there is one huge difference. They serve in the Old Testament, and they as priests will be mediators between God and his people. But there is no longer a need for God to ordain mediators between God and his people. For God has given us a high priest greater than all of these priests combined. Turn with me for a moment to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, we read this. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and who are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ did also not take this honor upon himself, but the glory of becoming a high priest when God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." God has ordained his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has given him the full job of mediation between him and his people. No longer do we need to ordain priests today, because God has sent us one true high priest who has fulfilled all the duties of this high priest and has taken away everything that those offerings stood for. Turn to Hebrews 7, verse 26. Turn the page in your Bibles. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of his people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. No longer in an ordination service is there a need for a sacrifice for someone's original sin. No longer is there a need for a sacrifice for the person's own sins before they can serve before the Lord. No longer does there need to be a sacrifice for a peace offering to be made between God and his people. For Jesus Christ has made that sacrifice. He has gone to the cross and he has poured out his life. He has poured out his body, his blood, for the sake of his people. So those sacrifices are no more. And he belongs as the one true sacrifice who has been made perfect forever, who alone mediates between God and his people. What do God's servants do today? We continue to ordain or set apart ministers, ruling elders, and deacons. They no longer mediate, for Christ has done that. But their job is to declare what Christ the mediator has done. The minister preaches about him. The elders teach and minister to others concerning him in their lives as they function in the church. The deacons serve, representing his service and his love to others. God has given us a greater high priest, a greater one who has come between God and between man. He has been the perfect sacrifice. He has been ordained once and for all. And we are to never forget the main point that God wants us to remember. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt, so that I might dwell with them. Why all the details? Why all of this to take care of sin? Why did Jesus have to die on the cross and provide a way? Is it simply so that we can leave this world and go to heaven and enjoy a better life? Is it simply so that our sins can be put away and we can enjoy freedom from bondage? Yes, all of those things are true. But let's not forget what Exodus 29 is about and the point that they want us to remember. Yes, God delivered them from Egypt, but he did that so that he might dwell with them. Our salvation is not just future. Our salvation is also present. God desires to dwell with his people. God has provided the sacrifice. God has provided his Son who has died on the cross for us. God has provided us with ordained ministers, ruling elders, and deacons to minister that love to us. And God desires even now to dwell with us. How does he dwell with us? When we worship, when we pray, when we meditate on his word, when we gather together to sing his praises, when we spend time with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. God desires to dwell with us. God has saved us, and yes, he has promised us a heavenly and eternal life. But that's also now. That's our duty before him. As the priests were ordained, so has God ordained his Son. So has God provided for us through his Son. May we dwell with God all the days of our life, even here on this earth. Amen. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for what we can read from Exodus 29. For Lord, it helps us understand those you have ordained to serve in your church. And we thank you, O God, that as we read the details of the ordination of these priests, that you have sent a far greater priest for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died on the cross, who has been the perfect and holy high priest forever. So that, Lord, no longer do we have ordination services for priests, for our priest has paid the price for us and all of our sins. And, Lord, may we never forget that as you have saved us and delivered us from our sins, that we are called to dwell with you, that you desire to be with us, to be near us as your people. And help us, O God, as your people, to desire to be with you, to know, O Lord, that as you have sent Christ for our sins, that we desire to be close to him and near him, now and forevermore. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.